Test 1, 2, check.
Okay,
1, 2,
okay,
check.
Same
check, check, test, test. 1, 2. We do not see our identity as evangelists. We like the identity of being forgiven, adopted as children, as righteous, but perhaps we dismiss evangelists as an identity that only some have and we don't have. But in this passage and other pieces of Scripture, Scripture clearly says that our identity as Christians includes being evangelists, every single one who is found in Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, our identity as evangelists. So let's, again, come before the Lord in humility. Father, grant us ears to hear and eyes to see. Please lower that resistance that we have to your word. Help us to be receptive to hear your word speaking to us this morning. Change us, Lord. Change us. Correct our thinking so it lines up with your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15 lead up to the passage that we're focusing on this morning. And it's helpful to know generally what those 15 verses are about. Verses 1 through 15 touch on how Christians go through tough things here on earth, but we do it with anticipation of our eternal home with the Lord. And while we anticipate our eternal home with the Lord, we live our lives here with courage, living for the Lord, to please the Lord, with reverence for the Lord, because we know that all people will be coming before God's judgment seat and then receive what they are due from the just and holy God. Everybody is coming before the judgment seat of God. Understanding the coming judgment motivated the apostles to focus on persuading people to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Evangelism. Judgment is coming and people need to be ready to come before the Lord, where they'll receive punishment for their sin or be welcomed into heaven because they are found in Jesus Christ. Knowing that all people have eternal souls changed the way the apostles and all Christians, us included, how we view people. Verse 16 says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." So the apostle Paul and all Christians used to see Jesus as just a guy. According to external standards, outward appearance, he was just some guy that was walking around 2,000 years ago. Paul even worked hard to destroy the church that was based on Jesus because he saw Jesus as just a guy. But when the sinner's eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit, they are able to see Jesus for who he is, the Messiah, the Savior. No more according to the flesh, but as the eternal Lord. And now, knowing that Jesus is God the Son, the Messiah, Paul and all Christians see everybody differently. We regard no one according to the flesh. They regard everyone as eternal souls who will at some point come before the holy judgment seat of God. And this is so important to understand when exploring our identity as evangelists. Every single person is an eternal soul who will be judged by the Lord. People are not just human beings doing whatever they do. Your family, your friends, your neighbor, or the stranger you meet, they are humans with eternal souls that must and will be judged by the Holy God. And if they stay in their sin, they will receive eternal punishment in hell. But, this is a beautiful but if they repent and put their faith in Christ, listen to verse 17 through 19 of 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Lost people are saved by God through Jesus Christ. They are no longer threatened by the coming judgment of God. Those in Christ have been made into new people, a new creation, no longer the same. That old way of life is dead and gone when found in Christ. They are forgiven, made righteous, adopted as Christian, as children. God is not counting their trespasses against them any longer. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no longer any fear of the coming judgment of God. Jesus has taken care of that for us. The new reality for those in Christ is they are still humans with eternal souls, but eternal souls that will be with Jesus for eternity because of his finished work on the cross. And all those new creations in Christ live here on earth in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, verse 9. Controlled by Christ's love, verse 14. No longer living for themselves, but for the Lord, verse 15. Verse 18 clearly states where this salvation for eternal souls comes from. All this is from God. God brought this about. It's his salvation. It's his reconciliation that he brought about. Verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. He reconciles the world to himself. The world is not reconciling itself to the Lord. So, little summing up here. All people have eternal souls, and all people will come before the judgment seat of God and have their sins held against them unless they are found in Christ. Then their trespasses are not counted against them. They are set free from the punishment their sin deserves. They are new creations in Christ, and now they live for God. They've been saved to live for him. And living for him totally includes evangelism, because every Christian knows that every person has an eternal soul and they will be all coming before God's judgment seat. And because of that, and because the Christian cares about eternal souls, they pass on the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That caring for the lost and living for Jesus leads straight into clear statements about our identity as evangelists in verses 18 through 20. And here they are, verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So, we the saved, the Christian, the redeemed. Who is saved? Who is a Christian? Who is redeemed in this room? Anybody? Look at that. So I'm talking to you. This is directed at you from the Lord, okay? We the saved, the Christian, the redeemed, we have been made ambassadors for Christ. And this isn't just to the apostles. This is for all those whom God saved in Christ. We are spiritually alive, new creations in Christ, ambassadors for Christ. We represent God to the world. God making his appeal through us. Through us, because we represent him to the world. We are commissioned by our salvation in Christ as messengers of God. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. We are foreigners living in this world. We are representing our King. That's who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. You might think, that's too heavy a load. I don't want to represent Christ. Too bad. Too bad. If God has saved you, God has made you his ambassador. His ambassador. Forget the world's way of identity. I'm a manager. I'm a carpenter. I'm a teacher. I'm a store worker. I'm a doctor. I made millions with an online company. Who cares? Who cares? That's nothing. You're an ambassador for the one who is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Colossians 1, verse 17. That's you. That's me, ambassadors, for the one who holds all things together. And what do we as ambassadors do? Verse 20, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God is making his appeal through us because he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So as ambassadors, our job is to plead and appeal to lost people with the message of reconciliation, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. We don't bring our own message, our own opinion, our life story, our testimony. That's not going to save anyone. We have been given God's message of reconciliation, of the exchange of sin for righteousness through Jesus Christ. As ambassadors, we are evangelists who go out of our way to love and care for lost people. And out of love for these eternal souls, we preach, we explain the reconciliation God has provided through Jesus Christ. We bring and we bring up the gospel, which, as Romans 1 verse 16 puts it, is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. We are God's representatives with God's message of salvation for lost people. That's amazing. That's our identity. I think it's worth pointing out at this time that some passages, when taken on their own and not taken within the context of the rest of the Bible, sound like the false teaching of universalism, which is, hey, in the end, God saves everyone regardless of repentance and faith because Christ's death covers everyone. So forget all that believing and repenting. God will save everyone. No one goes to hell. That's how some passages are taken by people. Passages like verse 19 in this 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. 1 Timothy 2 verse 6, it says that God gave himself as a ransom for all. 1 John 2 verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That can sound like universalism to a passive reader. But the message of salvation is not universalism. The call of salvation goes out to everyone, as Paul mentions in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. He, God, commands all people everywhere to repent. Luke 24, verse 47, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So we are to go to all nations, proclaiming the gospel to everyone, everywhere, because the Bible tells us that the gospel is offered to all. But it's not applied to all. It's applied to those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Mark 1, verse 15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Peter in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out." Acts 26, verse 20, there Paul is retelling what he said to people, the gospel he was bringing. And he said, "Repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance." There are so many, many passages that clearly refute the false teaching of universalism. Salvation is applied by the Holy Spirit where there is repentance of sin and faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our jobs as ambassadors is to go to all people without distinction, without discrimination, because we have no idea which ones will be saved. We are to go and proclaim and explain the gospel to them with love, with kindness, with clarity, and with the hope that the Holy Spirit applies the gift of salvation to them. We have the ministry of reconciliation. This is just like Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, what's become known as the Great Commission of Jesus. Jesus said there to his disciples, and it applies to us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Preaching and explaining the gospel is the message of reconciliation, and that is doing the ministry of reconciliation. Making you an ambassador for Christ was not an afterthought. God didn't go, "How am I going to get the good news of redemption out to sinners? Oh, I know. Maybe I'll use those that I've already saved. That's a good strategic piece that I can do. That's the way to do it." He didn't do that. God didn't do that. In one plan, before the foundation of the earth, God's plan was to send Christ to save sinners from their sin and to make them his ambassadors who go out and proclaim Christ for the salvation of sinners and make more ambassadors who go out and proclaim Christ for the salvation of sinners and make more ambassadors, and so on. And so on. You're saved. I'm saved. We are Christ's ambassadors. We can even say Christ came to make ambassadors for himself. We are not saved to live our best life now, enjoying all the world has to offer, indulging our desires and comforts, day by day living for ourselves. Being the best you can be is not your goal or purpose in this life as a Christian. You being the best dad you can be, you being the best mom, the best employee, the best this, the best that, the best that, that's not your purpose. You have been saved so that you can live for the Lord and bring glory to his name. That's your purpose. God set you free from living for yourself so that you can live for him. If you're being the best you can be, you're living for yourself, embracing the flesh, which is embracing the world's message, which is created by the devil. You've been saved from your sins to live for God, to become the righteousness of Christ, to be Christ-like and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. You're his ambassador, his ambassador. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." For our sake, because our sins were counted against us, Christ came and died as the sin offering in our place to have our sin put on him. Because that was the only way to make us righteous. And now we are Christ's righteous evangelizing ambassadors. You might be thinking, it's not a big deal if I'm not an evangelist. I'm still saved. At least I'm still saved. But just go after that thought a little bit. You're disobeying God. You're rejecting God's command of the ministry of reconciliation. You are not living out your identity in Christ, which means you are living out a false identity, which means you are living for yourself. Verse 15. You are an ambassador for Christ. That totally comes with salvation. Totally. And you have a responsibility to fill that role. In a world where nobody wants to be responsible for anything, but blames everyone for whatever happens, in that kind of a world, us ambassadors, we must take responsibility of our identity in Christ as evangelists, spreading and explaining God's message of reconciliation, the gospel. We must embrace and live out our identity. And we'll find that it looks different at different times. Sometimes it'll be listening and caring for people and serving them and explaining things of God. All these being used by the Holy Spirit to give us a chance to explain the gospel. Many of you know Willie Wiersmann. She gave me permission to say this little story that she told me. So please don't be scared that any story you tell me, I'm going to work it into a sermon. She gave me permission to do this. Recently, she lived out her identity as an evangelizing ambassador for Christ. The foster child of her granddaughter mentioned that her school teacher believed in God, right? She said, "My school teacher believes in God." And then she goes, this amazed her because over and over again, that whole existence of God has been proved wrong, disproved. It's wrong. And she was amazed that this teacher would have that kind of a claim. And Willie let her know that she too believes God created the heavens and the earth. She was Christ's ambassador in that moment. And Willie wanted to say more and is now looking into what else she can say to this child. Why is she doing that? Because Willie is an ambassador for Christ and acted on it. And we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes that conversation. Things come up in our lives. They come up. We've got to stop passing the buck or ignoring moments or hoping someone else steps into a moment that requires Christ's ambassador. Don't let fear or nervousness stop us in the moment from getting involved and being Christ's ambassador, but rather move in and trust the Holy Spirit to pop words into our minds, to bring to mind God's word, to take steps to learn and explain the gospel. And we'll get it wrong. We'll mess up. I totally messed this up on Friday. You know, you'd think that I would have this down because I'm sitting in it all week and I'd be quick to move on it. But there I am sitting by myself in Starbucks and I'm hearing a lady talk on her phone. And she's talking pretty loud and she's relaying to her friend that about her breast cancer and how it's painful and she's on new meds. And she's just explaining some things that was quite sad. And she hangs up the phone and she's talking to someone else who walks by, and she's very chatty to whoever walks by. And I'm sitting there going, I'm an ambassador of Christ. Maybe I'll just initiate a conversation with her, and we'll see where that goes. I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm preaching on this Sunday. This will be awesome. I'm going to be living out my identity. This is great. And then all of a sudden, she gets up, and I'm like, okay, here we go. And she comes walking by, and I look at her, and she looks at me, and I go, and there she goes. And I sit there and I'm like, what is that? We'll mess it up. We'll mess it up. We'll mess it up. But don't let missed opportunities stop you the next time. Don't let that stop you the next time. And forget the excuse that often comes to mind that you should just mind your own business. Sometimes it's true, yeah, but sometimes it's not. Take a chance. It's worth it. It's worth it. I want to encourage all of us to start being an ambassador or take it up another notch. Just start in your neighborhood. Like, imagine your neighborhood, your community right now. Just imagine your neighbors, those that live around you, those that speak with you and those that don't speak with you, that you have a relationship with, that you don't have a relationship with them. Just imagine you making a simple move toward friendship with them by having them in your home for a meal or coffee. Maybe one neighbor you already know well and one that you don't know very well, just so that it's less awkward. You have them both and you have coffee or you have a meal together and you get to know each other. Imagine you start living this way, a little more open to those around you who don't know Jesus. Imagine you start living out your identity in this way of spending some time together, listening to them, noticing them, caring, bringing up the Savior to the precious person with an eternal soul who will one day come before the judgment seat of the Lord. By God's power, through His word, through prayer, your love and care for those neighbors will blossom into seeing them as eternal souls. And you representing the Lord Jesus Christ and the good news that He can take away their sin and make them righteous, bringing them into His family for eternity. That is an identity more important and with more eternal consequences than anything else we can come up with here on earth. Church, you as an individual are an ambassador for Christ. That's who you are. That's who you are. You have the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. You are an evangelist. That's God's call on your life. Those are His commands. And now, will you obey and pass on His message of salvation? Or will you disobey and stick to yourself? Ask yourself that. Let's pray together. Father, as we face that question, I ask that you would help us to be honest with you. You already know the answer. Help us to be honest with ourselves and face the truth. If we are ready and willing and wanting to move forward as your ambassador, that drive, that motivation, that excitement, that joy would continue on and spill out into actually doing it. Not just an idea in our minds, but functionally living out this truth from you. And Lord, some of us that shy away from this evangelism, we're too shy or we're introverts, whatever reason we give, Lord, I ask that you would remind us that you are bigger than our personality limitations and that lost people are more important than our personality limitations. Please, Father, help us in this world where we are encouraged to be so self-centered and so self-focused, and if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. I ask, Lord, that we would not go along with that world, the world's message, but that we would go according to your call in our lives, and that we would represent you more clearly, more obviously to our friends and our families and our neighborhoods who don't know you. Lord, we all have folks in our lives that are separated from you. They're still in their sin. Lord, as their faces come to mind right now, as we think about putting three names down who we're going to commit to praying, Lord, ask that for each one of those people, you would open their eyes to your truth of who you are and who they are standing before the holy God. Lord, I ask that you would bring them into your family, bring salvation, save them, Lord. And we humbly say that we want to be used by you in whatever way you see fit. So help us, Lord, to live here courageously, to not be slowed down by fear or by feeling awkward, that wouldn't slow us down, Lord, but that we would be motivated to live our lives for you, to get the gospel out there to people, to have you be glorified through the salvation of lost people. May that be so, Lord. May we be found faithful to your call. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Set your rule on